Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note.
Bet Online is your number one source for all of your summer sports this season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All of the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or on your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and an editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
Back with another episode with another special guest. I mean, another one of the guys that, you know, I watch grow up, develop, and really, you know, be able to take over in a sense that, you know, the DB unit. So none other than Alex Johnson. What's up, man? How you doing?
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's been a pretty solid year and a good way to kind of end your season and your career at UCLA. What was it? I think you had the fumble recovery against USC for the touchdown. So, and then was it five interceptions?
Five, yeah.
It was five. And obviously that was probably the most in your career, right? Because I don't remember you doing that prior.
Five was only that five.
Oh, those were the only that's why it was the only five. It was a crazy season for you. Can you talk us through the season that was for you and in a sense a breakout year for you?
Yeah, I mean, looking back on it, I mean it was pretty surreal. Kind of everything that happened that season and everything that I kind of went through in my whole career at UCLA. But, you know,
it kind of never really hit me during the season that I was having that great of a year, just because
we played Coastal, had a good game, had a solid game, had some good snaps there. And then SDSU came around and I
got the first pick and I was like,
okay, like whatever it is, what it is. And then got the second one. Even came, like flew home on the plane. I was like, I mean, yeah, I got two picks, but like it was just kind of like it happened. It wasn't anything crazy.
But you know, it's just
I think it was a culmination of everything. You know,
coming in there
as a walk-on freshman, being around guys like Josh Woods and Chris Barnes and Pickett and Q Lake, and just kind of being able to see how good football is played, see how good football players, what they do, how they live their lives on a daily basis. I feel like it kind of prepared me for this year and kind of prepared me as a man moving forward in my life. Just like nothing's really going to ever be given to you. You just got to come in and put your head down and go to work. And that's kind of what I would chalk this past season up to.
And I mean, I would commend you on that, because I think your name is one of the names I usually bring up when I talk about guys that, you know, came in as freshmen and then totally bought in. I mean, guys like you, guys like Greg Dulcich, guys like Gaines, you know, being an older guy and, you know, trying to be a leader and set the level expectations and trying to be an example. I think, like you said, me and Chris were always trying to be an example and you know, show up and do the extra stuff. And you are one of the guys that, you know, were always there, always showing up, always working hard. So I was really happy to just see you progress and like come into a role and really be one of the guys, because all your hard work, I mean, you deserve everything, man. And I'm really proud of you for that. And I'm excited for, you know, this next step, you know, with the draft coming up and everything. How are you feeling? How's this process been for you? I mean, you had pro day and everything and other local pro days as well, I believe.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling good. I going through the process, it was kind of it was definitely a new thing for me early on, but as the days have progressed, I've kind of caught on and I feel myself day by day becoming more of a professional per se.
But yeah, going back to going back to my pro day, training for that was really intense. I put on about 14, 15 pounds of good muscle. So that was pretty awesome. In about 2.5, 3 months, I was working with the guys in Sports Academy at Thousand Oaks. Those guys are awesome. Mm-hmm. And going into that, I was very nervous. I mean, there were like nights where I would kind of, it was a kind of a mix between visualizing my performance and a little nervous energy going into that. But once I was out there, saw my guys, saw all my old teammates just watching and cheering us on. I mean, it was just like, I'm out here running and jumping. So that's just kind of did what I did. Had a good pro day. Ended up going to the Raiders local pro day as well as the Chargers. Performed pretty well there. Got to perform in front of a couple coaches. And besides that, like right now, I'm in the process of doing Zooms with a couple teams. I've Zoomed with the Texans, the Jets, and the Niners. So talking a little bit of football, getting to kind of show off my football IQ, my knowledge, my breakdown of my film and other game film and stuff like that. And throughout this process, I had a great agent, George Holly with Cover Zero Agency. He's been with me every step of the way. So, he's been a really big help just talking me through different things and situations like that. So, yeah, this process all in all has been really good.
One of the teams that you mentioned there was the 49ers. I believe you also mentioned them after your pro day as a team that you're probably going to be talking to right after you got done talking right to us there in the media. What is the real, obviously any team would be lucky to have Alex Johnson on their team, but what has that relationship been like, or just the communication with the 49ers, for example?
It's been awesome. I mean, those guys have been available whenever I've had any questions like that. They've been really clear cut and upfront with how they see me as a player and what they see me as bringing to the table in the organization. And I mean, I think they're a special team just because going back the past few years, I mean, being in the Super Bowl and making it all the way there, they have a special culture that they kind of
are able to brag about and have pride about just because that's something that they've built over the past few years. So, yeah,
great organization over there.
One of the things that we talked to Kenny with the other day, just having so many different coordinators and positional coaches and all the changes that were on defense, I mean, in your time at UCLA. So how you think that has, you know, affected you or even helped you? Like you said, you're in these Zoom meetings with these teams and, you know, they're asking you different things about coverages probably and different defenses, and you've been in, you know, a few different ones. So I imagine it'd probably help you. So how has that been? And if you want to talk about any, you know, coaches or coordinators specifically.
I mean, yeah, it's exactly what you said. I think it's only helped me. And I mean, being with Kenny, such a smart guy, like
he's helped me so much in like breaking down film and seeing stuff like that and relating
defenses that we might have been learning with Coach Lynn
back to something that we might have learned with one of our old coordinators. Just like, oh, okay, so that's just that, just a different terminology and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it's only helped me. I mean, being able to get a feel for how these guys come in and make these calls based off their experience in the NFL, whether it be in college and stuff like that.
Being able to see different things, being able to play different positions, something that is that I've grown into as well. And I think the great thing about it is that as
it may come across like as a surface level hindrance, it's like, oh, like this coordinator's leaving, like, we had a good rapport with that guy and he really liked me as a player. I think you kind of have to take it as like a notch in your belt. Like, okay, that guy's moved on. He has to go do something for himself. But like, I can take what that guy's taught me and cross it over to what I have to learn right now.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. Especially, yeah, you had a few different coaches there and obviously, you know, we're moving on to the transition here with Coach Foster, and he's been around for a while. Obviously, you're familiar with him, but and they have a great thing going on. Obviously, they just got Jay Toya back.
Definitely.
But just talk about, you know, maybe some of the ups and downs of your time at UCLA when you get these different coordinators kind of coming in, or you know, you see things kind of shuffling in. You've gotten guys coming in through the transfer portal and whatnot. Was there ever any consideration on exploring other options at some point? Obviously, I guess, were you there before? Did you come in with Chip
or were you there before Chip?
I came in with Chip. Yeah.
You came in with Chip. Okay.
Yeah. So I came in with Chip, yeah. And then he actually ended up leaving right as I left. But
yeah, going back to the question, I think there are definitely a lot of struggles being a walk-on and also being a guy who is very confident in himself, confident in my own abilities and in my IQ and in my knowledge. There were times where I felt like, I feel like I am better than this guy, but he's got some experience on me. He's coming from the transfer portal where he played for 2 years and stuff like that. So it kind of automatically has that upper edge on me. And no matter really what I do in spring ball or in fall camp, I can't really like get the edge on him. Like I'll maybe see a couple reps, but I know I won't be the starter. So it was definitely troubling at times and a struggle at times, but thankfully I had a good support system around me. I had great friends and walk-ons like Quinn Wallace and Josiah Norwood, Ethan Mattis, Stephen DeFranco, just great guys, and Greg Dulcich, like you said earlier. We just kind of stuck it out together. It's like, this, it is what it is, and there's nothing really I can do about it, and I just control what I can control. And I kind of made it so that when the time came where my name was going to get called, there was no other option. It was like, oh, like he doesn't show up on time, or he's always late to class, or he has bad grades, or he has bad character and stuff like that. I just kind of made sure like I ticked every box. So it's like, why isn't this guy on the field?
Yeah. And going further, how was your process on choosing UCLA? Just like the whole choosing to be preferred, like the walk-on situation and eventually what getting put on scholarship. So how was that whole transition?
It was very interesting for me. I wasn't really in tune with the football world as it pertained to college. So I
played
basketball my whole life and picked up football my junior year of high school. Had the ability, had the athleticism, and it showed, but I was still very raw. Going into my senior year of high school, I had some looks here and there, but no offers, nothing like that.
Ended up taking a visit to the University of Montana, talked with their coaches, talked with the DB coach, went to a game, loved it. I was like,
I'm ready to get out of California and expand my horizons and be in the cold and like do everything. Came home, talked with my mom, talked with my dad, ended up committing to the University of Montana verbally. About a week or 2 weeks before National Signing Day, they fired the head coach. They let go of the whole coaching staff, and the new coach that they bring in ends up letting go of that whole recruiting class. So I haven't done any college apps. I haven't talked to any coaches. I'm kind of left in the dry here. I didn't really have anything going on. And I was just happened to be walking in the mall one day with my mom, and I got a call from my high school coach, and he said that Coach Kelly had stopped by Loyola and was asking about guys, and my name came up, and he was like, how would you like to walk on to UCLA? And I didn't even know what walking on meant, but I was like, I'll do it. Like, let's go. That kind of started my process of getting into UCLA. And then I was actually working more closely with Jerry Neuhauser at the time, just because of the Loyola connection. So I kind of was like under the idea that I would come in as a wide receiver. And I showed up the first day of
camp, and they were like, nah, go to the DB room with Coach Rhodes, and the rest is history.
Look at you now.
Did it kind of catch you off guard?
It did. I mean, I was
really nervous, and I was just honestly happy to be there, happy to be in the building, and
make the most of my opportunity.
And when you do get awarded a scholarship, I'm trying to remember. I remember when you got it, but I don't remember how you got it. Was there one of these surprises, or was it just like, oh, hey, here's your scholarship, or how was it for you? Everyone's process is a little bit different.
Yeah. So in my case, I think about a week or maybe 2 weeks before we had ended walkthrough, and Coach Kelly came up and
put up a video of Ethan Frenet on the video board. And so that's when I was awarded the number 36 with Nick Pasquale. And then a week or two later, at the end of another walkthrough, he came out and said that me, Josiah Norwood, Carson Schlesinger, Jack Lander, and a couple of other guys were getting put on scholarships. So that's how that happened.
That's right. That's when they had them call in or record a video on the video board, and they had like the
right.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. Okay. And just real quick, you mentioned getting awarded that jersey number. What did that mean to you, and to kind of carry on that honor and that tradition? I know, obviously, that came after Ethan Fernandez was done with UCLA. Right. You know, was that something, obviously, that you were aware of prior to being awarded that, or and how did that just kind of come together for you?
I actually had no idea that it was happening. I was kind of surprised when he said my name, just because I had no idea. But I mean, it was awesome just being a part of that that tradition and that legacy that they started. Being able to get that honor for my teammates as well as my coaches, and I think it just means something deeper. So I mean, Jerry Neuheisel was actually on the same team with Nick Pasquale, so he actually had his jersey. And after I was awarded the number, he gave me his jersey to keep for the whole year. So I kept that in my locker, which was really cool. Reaching out and talking with the Pasquale family and Pasquale Foundation was awesome. And then just kind of carrying that tradition that started with Ethan Fornea, just another guy that I looked up to, came in, never complained, did his work, and was just a great guy to look up to and great guy to be around. So it was awesome.
I love that you were, you know, given that opportunity. Just me, I came 2 years after Nick.
Okay.
So when I was in my recruiting process, AJ was on staff, so mm-hmm. I got kind of familiar. And then when I was kind of an older guy, and they had started coming around again, I was one of the only people that, you know, that the family kind of knew or could recognize, because I'd been there so long. But yeah, you definitely embody what it means to live like Pac. That used to be our special teams break when I was earlier on. And I think, yeah, you do embody that as a guy that always showed up, worked hard, and like did whatever was needed, you know, whether that be a look, special teams, or anything. And I think it's testament to like what you said, when your number was called, you were ready. So that, you know, that's a big thing. And yeah, just excited to see, man, what's next. Like, what would your sales pitch be to you know, an NFL team when they pick and bring in Alex Johnson?
I think when you're thinking about picking Alex Johnson or thinking about calling Alex Johnson, you're getting a guy who's dedicated 100%. It doesn't matter what I need to do. I'm not going to get fed up when I'm not getting defensive snaps. I'm going to be ready to go on special teams, whatever role I'm needed. I'm going to show up on time. I'm going to put in the work, and I'm going to listen, and I'm ready to learn and develop as a player and as a man.
Josh, before we get to the usual fun questions here, and we kind of wrap things up here in a little bit, what were maybe some key moments or some of your favorite moments at UCLA, and some things you're going to miss, because obviously time flies and you're on your way out. But what are you going to remember most?
You know, I'll probably go a big moment and then probably like just a smaller moment that's more personal. But I'd probably say I was thinking about it today, actually, that game where we played up in Washington State, where you got the game-winning sack. I think it's one of the craziest college games ever played, and one of the craziest games that I've ever been a part of. it's just a great memory. Just being together with the guys, the kind of no-quit attitude that we had, the no-give-up, never-give-up kind of mentality, pulling through that victory. And then I would say just honestly, just like, going up to dinner after walkthrough with my boys and just like having a laugh, like there's nothing like it. And it's kind of crazy looking back on the fact that I'll never really have that again with them. Like we can go get dinner or something, but just kind of different being on the other side of that, on the other side of that fence. But
yeah, besides that, just those small memories that you just never really get back, you know?
Yeah, no doubt about it. One other thing real quick. Kenny Churchill said he'd run through a wall for Deshaun Foster And he would come back for another year if he had a chance to. what does Coach Foster mean to you in your time there at UCLA?
I mean, he is the guy. He's just a great guy. He's a great coach. He's a great man. He's a great father, great husband. He's just an all-around great guy. Coach Foster was actually one of the early coaches that told me that, like, he saw what was going on in my situation. He's like, hey, man, just, like, stick it out and see what happens. Like, why not? And he kind of kept me on that straight and narrow path of just, like, things that God has a plan for my life and things are going to just work themselves out. And I think that I couldn't think of a better guy for the job, and I think that he's got the program headed in a great direction.
I agree. Back to getting number 36. Who do you think deserves to wear the number next? If you were to be able to be the one to pick.
I said it kind of early on when this kid came in and he actually just got awarded a scholarship, but I think it'd be Kanye Clark. I just think that he is another embodiment of a guy that's going to come in and do whatever is asked of him. He's not going to complain. He's not going to pout. He's just going to tighten his boots up and say, let's go. I think he is very deserving of the scholarship that he earned, and I think he's going to be a great player.
Awesome. Yeah, good choice. His scholarship video was pretty funny as well. Josh, you want to go ahead with the usual questions?
All right. So there's a few questions that we ask every, alumni or, you know, you know, UCLA player. So one of them is, who is your top five funniest teammates while you were at UCLA?
That is a tough one.
Top five in no order.
Doesn't have to be in an order.
No order, but just top five funny guys.
I'm gonna go.
This is gonna be a crazy list.
I'm gonna go.
Okay, I gotta throw Greg Dulcich in there. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Chigozie. I'm gonna go.
Okay.
Dev Asiasi. I'm gonna go. Okay.
I'm gonna go
Lokenny, and I'm going to go at number Lokenny. Five. I'll go Josiah Norwood at my number five.
Okay. Josiah.
That's a different list. Those are names that we haven't.
Who was the
that's a crazy list.
Who is like the second or third name? I don't think I'm familiar with that.
Chigozie Inuka?
Yeah, who's that?
Yeah. He played D-line and he transferred to Miami.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But that's a funny guy.
What do you think of the list?
All those people on that list are funny in different ways. It just, I haven't heard those like.
Those are all new names.
Devin Lokenny, they are funny. But it's like, I don't know, maybe because I'm around so much, I didn't think, like, they're not on my top. But also, I was there longer. So like, because if you have Dev and you don't put Boss, then it's kind of like.
Boss. Yeah.
Those are like, I guess, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then the name that everybody brings up is Martin.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking Martin or Chigozie, and I think Chigozie in there.
Okay, everyone has said Martin. That's a good list. You want to go with the other one, Josh?
Okay, so and then the other question, which is kind of a two in one, it's who was the best player that you played with on the same team, and then who is the best player you competed against? So. I say mine's my, that I played with was Miles Jack, was the freakiest athlete, that I played with and the best talent I've seen on the field. And then against was Christian McCaffrey because, we see what he does now. He was like that at Stanford. He was a nightmare for UCLA for years. So
yeah. I'm going to go. I was talking about him the other day. I'm going to go Kyle Phillips as
the
one that I played with. I mean, going against KP actually made me such a better player just because he would route me up so disgusting, like on a daily basis. And then I think against,
I am going to say, Jordan Addison. Addison was tough in the slot.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's definitely a good one. Going back to Kyle real quick. I forgot who had said it before, but someone else recently, it wasn't Kenny. Someone mentioned him recently. And I think they said that he's a trash talker. And I don't think
was it he Q across. It was somebody. It was another one.
Somebody said he was the trash talker. And I'm like, there's no way. Kyle seems like the nicest, most humblest guy.
Kyle Phillips will throw you the nastiest route and will say every word to back it up. Like, yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Josh?
No, man. I'm just. Alex is so wholesome. Like, whenever I would see him in the facility, it was just like, and the thing is, when he came in, I mean, one of my first like reactions of Alex was, I don't know if there was a bet or I don't know what was going on, but you shaved your head.
Yeah.
Was it a bet or was it, that was just what you chose to do?
I lost odds to shave my head. And I was like, I mean, I gotta own up to it. I lost. So
How were you feeling after that?
I mean, it wasn't, everybody was like going crazy, but it wasn't really anything I was like, man, I gotta hide it.
Yeah.
I was like, it is what it is. I lost.
It was like, because of course, like he's newer, like he's one of the new wave of freshmen. So like, I heard like, oh, one of the freshmen shaved his head bald, and I was like, who? They were like, Alex Johnson. I was like, who? And I seen him, and I was like, oh, you're just like a little kid. Like, you know, you know the haircut you get in the beginning of elementary where, you know, they take it to the barbershop and just cut it off. You know, that's what it was. And
that was exactly every,
what like I said, every time I see Alex, like, he just so wholesome. Like, when I see him, I'm going to smile. He has that energy of like, I would smile. Like, how you doing, bro? Like, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah, one of the hardest working guys in my time there, and like you said, that group that you had around you, man, you guys showed up every day, extra workouts.
That walk-on culture,
consistent, and they set the culture. And I mean, that group had success. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because some guys come through in, you know, walk-ons, and a lot of them don't even make it to year two. They do that first season, and they kind of retire from football. But I mean, Alex and that group, you know, came in, worked really hard and earned everything they're getting. And I mean, look at you now, and these opportunities coming up. I'm just excited to see, you know, what you can do at the next level, your versatility, your athleticism. And like you said, how you work hard, you're going to show up every day. So really, really looking forward to this next week for you. And I wish you the best. If you need anything, you know, you can always reach out, bro. So thank you for coming on the show. Sure.
Actually, real quick, I forgot it's draft week. Like, are you nervous? Are you excited? Like, where is your head at right now? Like, just
I'm not, the nerves. I haven't been nervous since the day before pro day. Honestly, it's just kind of I'm just kind of floating right now. Just because, I mean, what Josh just said, I honestly, looking back 2 years, even a year ago, I never would have seen myself in this position, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of taking each thing day by day and just being grateful for what's given to me.
Any, you know, plans, family coming over, just going to take it easy? What is kind of the game plan?
Probably just go home to Carson, be with my mom, so make some tacos and be with my girlfriend and just be a tight-knit group and wait for a phone call.
Awesome. That's good. Sounds good. We wish you the best of luck, Alex, and hopefully we can have you on again soon with some good news, and we'll see how things go. Excited for your journey. Thank you again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
This is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.